This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Draft that starts on Thursday. He covers the Browns for the Chronicle Telegram. You can read all of his work at brownzone.com. And Scott joins us right now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Scott, first round excitement building here in Northeast Ohio.
Oh, I can feel it. It's oozing through the phone.
Is it really?
No. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I did see somewhere that Browns fan base is like seventh in the NFL in excitement for the start of the NFL draft.
Yeah, I didn't believe that.
Yeah, I don't either.
They only interviewed three people, but that's okay.
All right. We'll get this out of the way. Is there any way they trade into the first round on Thursday?
No. Okay. I just don't see it. I mean, you'd have to give up next year's number one. You know, there's not a need. There's not like a glaring need that Andrew Berry would be chasing. So I don't know. I just can't picture that scenario. And, you know, not that Andrew would have told us if he was thinking about it, but I got no indication last week. I've got no indication at all. It'd be a huge move. I just don't see it.
All right. What do you see? Give me, look into your Scott Petrak crystal ball, second round. I'm not asking for a name. Give me a position.
Well, I think they probably trade down from 54.
Wow.
The more I think about it,
and that draft buzz is building right now, Scott.
Right, yeah. You guys got the right.
Oh, everyone's on board now. You're right.
Yeah. I just think, you know, we've talked about it. There's not a huge need, right? So not that that's what you're supposed to do in a draft anyway, but if, let's say, man, they really needed a receiver, you take the best one at 54. But that's not where they are from a roster standpoint. And philosophically, the Browns believe in adding more picks, right? It's a lottery. The more picks you have, the better off you are. And plus, they don't have a lot of draft picks, right? So I think Andrew Berry might want to add more draft picks that he's given up for, you know, in other trades. And it, to me, it just makes sense. He's done it the last 2 years. I just think it fits that unless the perfect player is sitting there that, you know, they hoped all along, maybe they thought he was the 35th pick and now he happens to be 54. Otherwise, I think they hope somebody wants to come up. And they move down and add a couple other picks and then take somebody later in the second round.
Okay. Trade draft picks for any players in this draft. Is that an option?
Yeah. Like, trade one of their picks for a veteran somewhere.
Yeah. Some team decides they must have somebody on the board and they give up a veteran to get that pick.
Yeah, I would never rule out them doing that. I'd never rule out them doing anything. I could see that, right? They're in a bit of a win now mode. And if you're trading, even if it's 54, right? We saw it last year with Elijah Moore, right? Yeah. They wanted Elijah Moore. They traded back from the second to the third round. If there's a player out there that fits and you're okay, he can have an impact right now versus a draft pick, might not have an impact for a couple of years. I could see them doing that. I think it would take the right player at the right spot. But I wouldn't rule that out.
All right. I'm still kind of looking at this. I've looked at a lot of these mock drafts. It still feels like offensive lineman, perhaps tackle, linebacker, wide receiver. I wide receiver to me seemed like it could be a little bit higher, but I'm trying to get a feel for what I think they need. And I actually feel good about the fact that I am struggling at this.
Sure. Yeah, I think you're right about that, Andy. I keep coming back to defensive tackle and wide receiver. And, defensive tackle, they added a bunch of guys in free agency, right, where they re-signed Shelby Harris, they re-signed Maurice Hurst II, they added Quentin Jefferson. So they have some volume there. But outside of Siaki Ika, who we did not see a whole lot of, is a rookie last year, they're not young there. And I think they could definitely be serviced by getting younger at that spot. And if they stayed at 54, I could see that being the spot they went after. Defensive tackle, you try to add maybe a difference maker there at 54. There's not a lot of pressure to play right away. So I like D-tackle there. I like receiver. And, they have enough receivers right now, right, with Cooper and Judy and Moore and Tillman and whoever else. But, Cooper's in the last year of his contract. Elijah Moore's in the last year of his contract. We don't know about Cedric Tillman. David Bell's David Bell, where, I feel like receiver, and it's a deep receiver class, that's somebody they could take, whether it's at 54 or somewhere else in the second round or in the third round. I would certainly expect them to take a receiver. The other positions you mentioned are interesting because, and I think we lose sight sometimes that it is about beyond 2024, right? We're so focused on, what are needs right now? Well, linebacker, they don't value that super highly. They have JOK. They just signed Jordan Hicks and Devin Bush. But, Hicks is kind of getting up there. We don't know about Devin Bush. I mean, maybe they take a linebacker because they're thinking down the road. But to me, that's just not a position they value greatly. So it would have to be a stud that they really like there. And then tackle, I'm curious about tackle because if you think Jed Wills is your long-term answer at left tackle beyond this year, then you don't need to take a tackle because you have DeJuan Jones, you have Jedrick Wills, right? But if you don't think Wills is the guy, every indication in the building is that they really like Wills and they think he's getting better. But that would be a sign that, hey, you're going to let Wills go, and this next guy is going to be the future at left tackle or right tackle. And I don't know. I kind of feel like it could be Wills and Jones for a long time. But that's why I see a lot of tackle out there, and I'm just not sure because I think they might want to hang on to Jed Wills.
I think that's accurate. I would be surprised if it's anything other than a defensive tackle or a wide receiver. Not like, oh, my gosh, that's a mistake. It just seems like it's a deep wide receiver draft. You keep hearing about DTs maybe sliding down a little bit. It just seems like that's the perfect storm. It's going to be one of those two spots. And I agree with you, Scott. The need at defensive tackle, if there's any place where you think, yeah, we could really use a young guy to come in there, I think it's at defensive tackle. If they go somewhere else with that pick, I'd have to think about it a little while. It's like, okay, why did they do that? What went into it? So I'd be a little bit surprised. Would it stun you if they did something different than what we just talked about with those two spots and maybe offensive line or something like that? I think they might have a tough time justifying that, even best player on the board.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, Jeff. And, it depends. The lower you get, then – even if 54 is pretty low, right? But even if you get lower than that with the trade down, then you can kind of throw all the rules out, right? Like, if you're picking a guy at 68, let's say, is there a lot of expectation that he's going to come in right away and play? No, or have a huge impact. So I think when it's that scenario, then it does open up the possibility to take a guy at any spot, right? I didn't expect him to take Martin Emerson Jr. when they drafted him. Corner didn't seem like a need. They took him. He winds up being really good and looks like he's going to be part of the long-term future. So I think let's say linebacker, because I've kind of been dismissing the idea of linebacker. Let's say they saw a guy that they thought was as good as JOK, right, who they traded up to get, which was out of character. Well, if that guy's there at 54 or 64 or wherever, I would be surprised, but you could explain it to me and I'd be like, okay, that makes sense because they feel like in 2025, 2026, this guy will pair with JOK and there's your two linebackers for the future, right? Like, and then it becomes more about the specific player and best player available versus trying to identify a need. And I do think that the roster is in that spot where it allows them to pretty much go anywhere, even though most of my focus and your focus is on D-tackle and receiver.
What did we learn from these press conferences last week? I thought Andrew Berry was about as relaxed and loose as possible, but he also wasn't getting a ton of draft questions, too. I thought there was some pretty good insight there.
Yeah, he was certainly relaxed, and I think we've seen maturity isn't the right word, but we've seen like the growth, the more
experience.
Andrews, he's gotten into this job. I think he's admitted that, you know, he feels more comfortable, and it shows up, right? But yeah, I mean, he doesn't give away a whole lot. I think he does remind you of their philosophies, whether or not we think they're trite, whether or not we've heard them over and over. I think he does, you know, talk about the flexibility and how they don't get locked into certain things. And the reality that when it comes to 54, they don't know if they're going to trade down, keep the picks, and what group of players are going to be available until about 10 spots before, right? So we can spend the next 3 days and 4 days talking about who the possibilities are, but you just don't know until it gets a lot closer, right? They have ideas in their head, but it's way too premature. I think he reminds us of some of the realities. And I thought, you know, last week we got some updates, some legitimate newsworthy updates on Deshaun Watson, right? When Watson talked about throwing full strength and trusting his motion and thinking he was in a really good spot. Now, other things were cloudy after the Watson interview, but the fact that Andrew Berry said, you know, Watson's throwing up to 40 yards, right? Like, those are the things that I'm most interested in right now is how's the quarterback's shoulder doing? And if he can throw 40 yards a month after he began throwing, that's a positive sign, right? If Watson said, you know, he's not feeling pain and he feels good and not everything's, you know, full strength and all that kind of thing, that's a positive step as we look toward, you know, next season and where Watson's going
to
be.
Scott, I want you to just think of the two philosophies that Andrew's told us over this year alone. One, that, you know, they look at every draft like it's they're an expansion team. And then the second I thought was interesting what he said last week about, I'm not really going to worry about it until we're 10 picks away. What do you think? Can we hold true to those two statements going into Thursday?
Yeah, you know what? The expansion team, I get it. Like, if you're sitting around in a room and you're talking about it, that's how you want to approach it. I don't think that most years that applies, even if they wanted to, right? I just don't think it's practical. I flash back to 2020. They needed a left tackle. We knew they were going to take a left tackle. The draft fit because they're a bunch of highly rated left tackles. But they didn't view that like an expansion team where they're just picking 53 spots. They knew exactly what spot they were going to address, right? And I think you see that at specific picks, right? The year they took Cade York, obviously it didn't work out, but we knew they're going to take a kicker at some point, right? So I think that's – I understand the philosophy of it. I think it's not practical. And then the 10 picks thing, it would be interesting. Like, I don't think Andrew was being dishonest, but again, if you got a really honest moment, would he say, yeah, that's true, or is it more, hey, we think these five guys are going to be there. These are the five guys we're thinking about. We think we're going to have trade options, right? Like, but knowing you have to be flexible because you can't control what happens in the first 44 picks, right? My guess is they have a more narrow focus than, oh, we can only wait until we get to pick 44, right? My guess is they played out all these scenarios, but in the back of their mind going, we might have to scrap them all because a lot of stuff can change in the first 45 picks.
Scott Petrak joining us, Chronicle Telegram, brownzone.com, where you can read all of Scott's work. If I'm a team in need of a quarterback, I'm a little leery about this crew. And there's, you know, Caleb Williams, from all accounts, no-brainer, number one pick, has a fine career ahead of him. I've read Drake May called a he'll get you fired guy. And Jaden Daniels is skinny. He's not real big. That usually doesn't work in the NFL. Bo Nix is there, Penix, J.J. McCarthy. There's some interesting guys. If there's a year where a team's going to make a big move for a quarterback and have it blow up on them, Scott, and this kind of feels like this could be that year, what are you hearing about quarterbacks in this draft? Because I think this whole first round is going to be dictated by these teams that need a quarterback making big moves to try and get one.
Yeah, and no, I think you're right, Jeff. I don't feel great about any of them, right? I mean, Caleb Williams could turn out to be great, right? You see the Mahomes comparisons, you see all the off-schedule stuff he does. But there's plenty of times you watch him, and I played golf in the freezing cold yesterday with the guy that says, hey, every time I watch him in a big game, he doesn't play great and they don't win, right, at USC. So, you know, I know Chicago seems to be all in, but, you know, I don't know if he can feel as good about Williams as he did about other number one picks, right, number of quarterback picks in the draft. They say, okay, this is the guy, right? And sometimes those work out and they don't. But personally, I don't have that same sense of security with him. And I think the rest, you know, I think it's true with most of the guys. I do like Jaden Daniels. I think he's my favorite of these quarterbacks. But, you know, we could have four quarterbacks taking the first four picks, right?
Yes.
You know, New England can move down, right? Somebody can move up. But you could have that happen. And anytime that happens, it is a bit scary, right? You think of, remember when, you don't have to go back that far, right? Zach Wilson and Trey Lance, right? All of a sudden, there's all this buzz. These guys get pushed up to 2 and 3. And then, you know, one of them's already been on a second team. One of them's going to be on a second team, right? Like, so it does feel like when you have this, when it's the lead into the draft and there's this consensus that, oh, there's a bunch of good quarterbacks, they all get pushed up, the failure rate is probably pretty high.
I'm just curious, like, if you're Andrew Berry and you're sitting here and you don't have these first-round picks, all of a sudden you'll have one again next year. And, you know, I look how even I was looking through the headlines on your site, and, you know, he's happy with the way they handle things, but he's going to be happy to have one next year too. So I think they've done a pretty good job of handling this too, considering they haven't had the first-round picks.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how you can argue with, you know, they're coming off 11-6, they're coming off going to the playoffs with everything that they went through last year to get to the playoffs. It feels like when we've talked about how it feels like the roster is pretty much set, right? There's a lot of high-end talent on this roster where...
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
I don't find myself going, oh, man, if they'd only stayed at 24 and had that pick. Right now, you could talk about the trade all you want, right? And, yes, Watson has not played up to the contract, and he's not played up to giving up five draft picks, including three first-rounders. Right? I mean, that's the reality. And would they have been better off with those three picks than a guy who played, you know, 11-plus games? Certainly. But I think they've been able to overcome that and overcome the lack of picks and overcome – you know, a quarterback who hasn't lived up to that, any part of that deal. And I do think that speaks highly to the coaching staff. It speaks highly to Andrew Berry and how he's been able to fill in the roster in other ways. And that's trading a fifth-round pick for Amari Cooper, right? Trading two low picks for Jerry Jeudy, right? Trading for Za'Darius Smith and then re-signing him. Like, he's figured out other ways to draft or to acquire talent. He's hit on a couple picks that weren't the first round picks, right? Martin Emerson Jr., DeJuan Jones. So he's been able to fill it in enough, and that's hard to do when you don't have those first round picks. So yeah, you want one back, but as we head into the season with a pretty stacked roster, it makes sense to me that Andrew Berry can say, hey, yeah, we figured it out without those first round picks.
Scotty, thank you.
Thanks, fellas.
Hey, Matt.
Scott Petrak, brownzone.com. Brownzone.com. Read him in the Chronicle Telegram as Scott covers the Cleveland Browns draft coming up. And to me, quarterback is a precarious situation in this draft. That coming up after Jeff Thomas's 2020.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.